Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, continuing my podcast on Armenia and Armenians. And I am honored and privileged to have Dr. Sharon Chekichian, who is a emergency medicine specialist teaching and working at Yale University, who has just returned from a Fulbright scholarship in Armenia, which I will let her explain to us the details of that. And I met her at Saravan. Thank you for joining me, Sharon.
Thank you so much for having me, Serge.
So you just came back from Armenia and you were on a Fulbright scholarship there to sort of pursue your interest in emergency medicine and emergency medicine response in Armenia. I hope that we will get back to that subject and your study there and what you discovered. But just so our listeners have an idea of your background and what you do, I would greatly appreciate it if you would introduce yourself a little bit to them.
Sure. So I am assistant professor of emergency medicine at Yale. I've been here for quite a while now. I was a student at Yale. I left for 3 years to do training and came back, continued my training in emergency medicine. And I've been practicing here as faculty since 2007. I'm originally from Boston, from a family with an Armenian father and an American mother. And I first traveled to Armenia actually in 1991 when it was still the Soviet Union.
What inspired you to go in 1991?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I was actually living in Paris at the time and studying French. And I was in college and I decided that for the summer, I really didn't want to go back home for the summer. I didn't have plans and I wanted to learn Armenian. And somehow this opportunity crossed my my desk. We didn't have email at the time. So I think it was probably in the Armenian paper. There was an advertisement for a summer language program with University of Michigan and Dr. Kevork Bardakchan, who was teaching Western Armenian, but in Armenia, where most people speak Eastern Armenian. And it was such an interesting opportunity because number one, I thought Armenia didn't exist anymore. I remember my dad saying that after the genocide that Armenia ceased to exist. And so I was very curious because suddenly there was an opportunity to travel to a country that I thought no longer existed. And actually at the time, nobody was allowed to travel to the Soviet Union without an official invitation. So it was one of the only ways to go.
That's right. And then in 1991 or in the 80s, when you and I grew up, Armenia was just an idea because it was one of the republics of the Soviet Union. And
correct.
It was very much a more of a Soviet culture and society than Armenian.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I remember calling my dad and saying, I thought Armenia didn't exist. And he said, well, it does exist, he said, but it's really not Armenia anymore. It's actually the Soviet Union, which became even more intriguing to me. So I sent in my application right away and was accepted. And I traveled there that summer, probably in June. I returned home from Paris to Boston for about a week, packed my bags, and I left. Oh, and well, I actually remember something else that kind of prompted me to go, which was that I was a student at Smith College. And the year before I went to Paris, I actually was sitting in class next to a woman named Lucine Pelosian. And I looked down and she was writing in Armenian. And at the time that was so strange because there were very few Armenians and no Armenians at Smith that I knew. And I waited until after class and I asked her, are you Armenian? And she said, yes. And she told me that she was from Yerevan. And so I did have an inkling actually that the Republic existed. And Lucine came to visit with us for most holidays during that year. And so I had exactly one contact when I landed in Armenia in 1991.
So this is really interesting, and your interest in the French language. So here you are in Paris studying English, studying French, and then you discover that you want to go to Armenia and learn Armenian. Do you remember the inspiration, or was there a moment that you said, wait a second, I'm an Armenian, but I don't speak the language, and I want to learn the language. And Armenian, as you know, is not a very easy language.
Oh my gosh, it's such a hard language. I love languages in general, so I don't remember the exact moment that I wanted to learn Armenian, but I do remember finding it very peculiar to be learning Western Armenian in a place where everybody was speaking Eastern Armenian. And so there was sort of a disconnect. And the two languages are very related, obviously, but they're two different dialects with different grammar. And Armenian is a lot like Latin, which I also studied. So it has declensions. And as you know from speaking Armenian yourself, but maybe you're not even aware of it since you're a native speaker, everything in the sentence has to agree with everything else. So it's hard because you kind of have to, when in the beginning, you have to think out what you're going to say ahead of time. And then all that grammar has to come together at one point to make a sentence. So it's actually a really difficult language.
Right. Armenian, I know that Armenian is a difficult language, but in one way, it's a very easy language because unlike English that has all these exceptions, in the corner, at the corner, for example, in the hospital or at the hospital, Armenian language, its grammar is very consistent. There are very, very few exceptions.
It is. It's a beautiful language. And actually recently I obtained Kevork Bardakhshan's Eastern Armenian book because through the years, and we can talk about what that means through the years, but through time, I actually, my Armenian has become more Eastern because of all my visits to Armenia. But I've never officially learned Eastern Armenian, you know, as a separate language. And so I recently was able to obtain Dr. Bardakhshan's Eastern Armenian book, which he kindly organized exactly like the Western Armenian book. And so I've been doing a comparison chapter by chapter and trying to refine how I speak in Eastern Armenian as well.
Also, I think if I am to use my mother's a comment when I was a child, because we were studying French and English, and I was complaining, it's like, why do we have to study these languages in Iran? And she said, honey, a language offers you insight, each language offers you an insight into the world. And I feel that your fluidity in both Eastern and Western Armenian must give you a sort of a privileged point of view about not only the language, but also Armenians. Do you think that's an exaggeration or do you agree with that?
No, I agree with that completely. I mean, I wish that I spoke so well that I could understand all the nuances because there's so many sayings. And actually there's a funny page on Instagram and it has Armenian sayings. I'll have to send it to you because you would enjoy it. And some of them make no sense when you read the actual words. And so I wish that everything were so fluent and familiar to me that I would understand all those nuances. But yeah, you're right. It does offer a window into other worlds. And it also sometimes, I don't know if you've felt this, but sometimes I feel my personality is different based on the language I'm speaking. So that
I 100% agree. I don't know about what you mean by personality, but my disposition when I speak Farsi or when I speak Armenian or when I speak English, my disposition in expressing myself is very different.
It is. It's so that language has a construct all of its own. And for instance, in French, I feel that I'm a rule follower somehow. Somehow the constructs of French make you follow rules. They compel you to act a certain way. And Armenian is not like that. But Armenian is also very forgiving, much like English, even though exceptions in English, but you can make a compound word like you can make in English or in German, and people will understand you, which is really lovely. When you can't find
one of the things that I enjoy about Armenian and Farsi, and I dislike in English, is that, and my grammatical terminology is not very good, is that because of the declension and because of the grammar of the Armenian and Iranian language, Farsi, is that word orders don't really matter. Like mm-hmm. in English, I cannot say ate I yesterday, you know, that would not be proper English. But in Armenian, you can say yes keram erek, erek yes kerelem, yes arten kerelem. So the word order is not as important in a sentence, mm-hmm. even though there is a proper way of saying it, which I always find Armenian Iranian poetry to be a lot more melodic than English poetry.
That's a beautiful example. I often feel that way. I think it's a little freeing because no matter how your sentence comes out, somebody's going to understand you or want to understand you. And you're right. It's a lot more forgiving in that way.
Or versatile. So the interesting thing for me about your experience of being a young woman in 1991, 92, going to Armenia for the first time, tell us a little bit about what you saw, how it impacted you, how your being an Armenian woman was impacted, your identity, your sense of yourself. And then all of a sudden, this country that you was just a sort of a idea, sort of a platonic existence. All of a sudden, you know, you can touch, you can walk the soil and you can eat the food and you can meet the people. How did that impact you? Do you recall?
Oh, I recall it very well. I mean, first of all, during the Soviet Union, there was one cafe. There were eight restaurants. And
you're speaking about Yerevan.
About Yerevan, yes, in the city, outside the city.
Which is the capital of, for the listeners that are unaware, Yerevan is the capital of Armenia. I was just informed that it is one of the oldest continual cities, older than Rome.
Yeah, it's, I forget what anniversary it is.
The last 2800,
one I okay,
2,800 wow. years.
Yeah, that's exactly. I remember a big celebration for the 2,800.
Last year, yeah.
So you're right. So I remember just this one cafe, eight restaurants. I remember every single one of the restaurants because each one was really precious to us. And actually, if you were an Armenian citizen or a Soviet citizen, you were not allowed in those restaurants for the most part. There were some exceptions. And now, I mean, Serge, you've been to Yerevan. You can't count the number of cafes on one block. I mean, it's jam-packed with restaurants, cafes, ice cream stores, you know, people everywhere. It's a very joyous city. It's probably my favorite city in the world, actually.
And it's a 24-hour city.
It's a 24-hour city. Mm-hmm. I've never met a city that stays up, you know, 24 hours like that, which is so surprising because it's a little country.
I also need to say, sorry to interrupt you, is that it's unlike, like New York is a 24-hour city, but New York has its sexiness and it's a wonderful, vibrant city, but it's not as safe. You know, when you walk the streets of New York City at nighttime, you have to be a lot cautious. Whereas Yerevan is a very safe city, at least it still is a very safe city.
Absolutely. I mean, I think as a traveler, as a woman, I mean, you can feel safe there, you know, 24 hours a day. I've never had a problem. And I hope it always continues to be like that because that's one of the hallmarks of Yerevan for me. But you can find everything there. And I think even in those times, you know, in what they call the bad times, when there was not a lot of electricity, you know, after the fall of the Soviet Union, even in those times, you could walk into the most incredible places, you know, that you didn't expect, sort of go down an alley and up a stairwell and open an apartment door and you were in some sort of a paradise, you know, with art, with a secret restaurant. I mean, there are always so many surprises in Yerevan, which I think is another aspect that I love about the city.
I have to agree with you. I mean, one of my favorite things, the first time I went there was in 2007, and I landed at 4:30, and I went to my hotel and grabbed my camera because iPhones weren't around then. And I just walked the streets of Yerevan, I don't know for how many hours, and you can just walk in. And I was, the aesthetics, the combination of the old Armenian quarter where it was Armenian buildings juxtaposed to the Soviet structure, the Stalinist structure, for me, they were so enticing, confusing, and engrossing. So I need to interject that as well. I don't know how it was for you, because in 1991, 92, it must have been the same.
The same. I mean, actually, when you were just speaking, I was remembering when I first landed in 1991, which is still very vivid for me. You said I landed at 4:30 in the morning. And similarly, we landed at about 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And I think it was because it was less expensive to fly during that time, from what I remember. And so the Aeroflot plane landed, and the Aeroflot plane is a whole story in and of itself. And was actually it was so terrifying. And to this day, even though Aeroflot has improved quite a bit, I still find it very difficult to actually purchase a ticket for Aeroflot. I avoid it at all costs. But we landed at 4:35 in the morning, and the passport control staff didn't arrive until 9 a.m. because it was the Soviet Union. That was what time work started. So we literally sat, in a room with a dirt floor, if you can imagine, and the smell of diesel everywhere. And it was just a group of, 200 diasporan Armenians just waiting for passport control to open up. And I just vividly remember, being in the dark, the smell of diesel. The suitcases came out. There weren't sort of luggage belts then. Everything was stacked in a room and you had to go and get your suitcase. And I remember that very old airport, Zvartnots, which still stands, today. It's a really historic Soviet building. It's iconic. But it was dysfunctional even back then. And since that time, Ernekian has built a beautiful world-class airport that welcomes people. But I always just sort of look to the side at Zvartnots when I land.
The tower is still standing.
Yeah, and I just remember that.
I really love. Sharonjan, we're coming to a close for this segment. So I hope you will stick around so we can do another segment. This is Serge from Yerevan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. And I've had the privilege of speaking to Sharon Chekichian, an emergency medicine specialist doctor, assistant professor at Yale University. I hope that you will tune in for our next conversation.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Yerevan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Yerevan Restaurant in Amedia, New York, yerevan.com on the web.